This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
If you're feeling a little sleepy, grab a Cardomax Energy Intensifier and wake up. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, Cardomax's Energy Intensifier will help you power through your workouts and dead afternoons with vitamins B3, B6, B12, caffeine, and BCAAs. Use the promo code DB to get 30% off your next four orders at Cardomax.com. That's Cardomax.com, CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. I feel like we should have a single here. There it is right now. Drinking the whole clown. Oh boy. It's coming to this, D'Anthony. It's coming to this. I don't lose many bets, but I feel like the ones I do lose involve some form of different hair color and or me being like a clown.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here we are.
Yeah, you do have a tendency to get lit up when it comes to your physical appearance.
I don't know why. I win every other bet, and I'm shamed. This last one that I lost over the weekend was obviously Team USA. Now, I said Team USA basketball would not win the gold medal. I was pretty goddamn close, Dan.
I disagree that you were close.
5 points.
I think it's...
5 points. They didn't cover.
To me, it was like the Golden State Warriors in that... that season where they won 73 games.
No.
They would just fuck around for the first three quarters and then win in the fourth.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like to me. And it also, from the sports commentator, all these pieces of shit are now fucking sucking their own dicks. Like, oh, we were fucking right about that, weren't we? Shut the fuck up, dude. They're like, here's what's going to happen. Like, everybody knew this was going to happen, except for you, apparently, and that's why you're dressed this way.
Well, look, we've got a sports commentator on today. Lisa Ann, how are you? What are your thoughts? Team USA basketball.
Yeah, I don't think you can count them out. I mean, they were going over there. The reason I didn't think they would lose is, yes, they played poorly in the beginning of the tournament, but they went over there 7 days off of being pulled off of the NBA court. It took a little bit of time for them to gel. But I thought we were going to win. I'm sorry. Like, I look at Durant and the things that he's done in the Olympics in the past, and I just don't discount that. But, hey, this made for great viewing today. Did you do the clown makeup yourself?
My wife actually did that, and she's going to
be a great job.
Yeah. I mean, it was it was a last minute clown patchwork, because usually you get something like this over Halloween. We're not really near that yet, so we did what we could today at Target. But I will be a clown on this show and then Drinking Bros Sports afterwards. I'm glad you brought up Kevin Durant. If the United States doesn't have Kevin Durant, I think they get blown out by 20 points. I don't even know if they make it to the final round.
Yeah, but that's if I didn't have legs, I couldn't run fast. They do have Kevin Durant, motherfucker, and that's why they won.
Yeah.
And because of that fact and the fact that you can't see it, and I got to tell you, I 100% believe that Jesse took a lot of joy in doing this to you.
A little bit.
I think this is part of its payback.
Sure.
And that's something that when you're in a relationship, you have to take those little moments where it's not obvious that you're getting payback. It's just for you.
Right.
You're exercising the demons kind of offline.
Lisa Ann, I'd like to remind you, Team USA played how many games total?
Wow. I want to say, do I have to take a guess? And if so, if I lose the guess, I'm sorry, but I wasn't a clean participant in all of the Olympics due to the time. I wasn't recording it. Wasn't getting up late. Wasn't staying up late at night on the East Coast and watching it. I was just doing what everybody else was doing, just listening to the updates in the morning.
Yeah. Okay. They played 8 games, including the preseason.
I was going to say 9. Darn it. I wish I would have guessed.
It's all right. Do you know how many they lost?
In the preseason?
Yeah.
I think five, right?
No. They lost two games, and then they lost to actually France during the real Olympics. They ended up total at 6-3. So how great was that team?
6-3 is 9, though.
Sorry. So 9 games total they played.
So I was right. I was right on the 9 games.
Yes, you were.
Well, yeah, you were right after the fact. You didn't say it out loud before you said it. It's like, hey, guess how many fucking numbers I'm holding up behind my back now.
You have such a bad fucking attitude. I do. I really love it. Is your attitude always this bad?
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah. It's absolutely terrible. Week in and week out.
Yeah, I'm a piece of shit.
It's fantastic. Yeah. I love it.
I don't know what to tell you.
You probably love Larry David, right?
Yeah. Who doesn't love Larry David, though?
We all do.
Fact that we don't want to stop and talk to people, all of the things that he does that we all feel inside but can't act that way, because it's not socially acceptable, because we're not billionaires.
Yeah. I'm not a billionaire or a millionaire even, but I talk shit openly to people every single day, I guess.
All day long. Lisa, how did you get into sports? We'll, I guess, talk about your past career here in a second, but how did you switch over into sports? Because you've been doing fantasy football, I believe, since like 2014.
2013 was my first year doing fantasy football for SiriusXM.
Yep.
I was doing a show for SiriusXM for a couple of years on what was at one time Playboy Radio, then it was Spice Radio. It was actually a really fun show. It was called Stripper Town. And it was on Monday nights, and we would just take calls of like the ridiculous shit that happened to people over the weekend at strip clubs. And it was amazing. But because it was Monday nights during the football season, my true fans would call in and they would catch me up on what was going on in the game because we had no TV in studio, and I would be like missing out on everything. So it kept getting me in somewhat of trouble. I was written up twice. Because we're not supposed to talk sports. We're supposed to talk sex. And Stripper Town was borderline not even sexy enough because it was telling stories. And so on the last write-up I was going to get, my boss at that time said, hey, my friend in New York had a show for fantasy football, and it was Playmates. And the show just broke up, and I know he wants to bring something like this back next season. So you should go and meet with him. So like I flew to New York like that next week, met up with my boss, Matt Deutsch. And though I didn't know fantasy sports yet, I was raised around sports, basketball first, football second. So I followed sports enough to be able to say, okay, I'm going to just learn how to draft. I'm going to mock draft. I'm going to learn the different platforms. And I went to all of my friends that already played fantasy football. And I said, hey, you know, talk about tips. Everybody gave me different tips, picking a home kicker that's in a dome. Like, you know, all the little things your friends kind of give you.
Sure.
And I took it from there, and I absolutely love it. And when you're really deep in 20 leagues for fantasy football, it makes it a lot easier for me to place accurate bets on each game. You know, I do a lot of work with Bovada, and the reason the betting gets easier is because when I'm expecting points from receivers, running backs, you know, defense, and I'm looking at everything that's going to happen fantasy-wise, it's not that difficult to put together the spread and look at the total points and even some player props. So it really funneled nicely together. I love watching sports, so the fact that now I get to just sit and watch all day and then talk about it, to me, is like, it's awesome. It's just so awesome.
Yeah, because look, you know, you mentioned gambling. It really is the future. And we've said this numerous times as far as our media company goes, because everybody's like, oh, where do you think all this is headed? The end is sports gambling. And I think once it gets legalized in all 50 states, everybody will have their own app. Drinking Bros will more than likely have an app in the future. And then it's going to come down to marketing. Who do you want to gamble with on what app and what platform? Now, Barstool is already doing this currently. Yeah. They're open. They're legalized in 6 states. And then today, I don't know if you saw today's news about an hour ago. It looks like they are forming a deal with Major League Baseball to not only do alternative commentary, but also live gambling during the Major League Baseball games. So it's here and it's happening. Snoop Dogg and Kevin Hart were doing, you know, all things for the Olympics and everything else. Our sponsor is mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros will double your deposit up to $1,000. We bet with them on everything else. But I feel like it's starting to be incorporated into every single thing you do. And speaking of fantasy football, you really, really know how to bet football if you play fantasy, because you know every player from almost every single team because you're forced to watch it. What was your favorite team growing up, and then did you start drafting based on your favorite team, and when did that end?
Okay, so let me go back real quick to the Barstool and MLB. I think this is so fantastic for many reasons, but mainly this is going to pull in a younger audience, and baseball is really losing grip with viewers, with fans, and I think this is going to bring that Barstool demographic right back into MLB, which is what we need. We want the stadiums to be full. We want young people to have the patience to enjoy a game. And if you're not betting live in-line games, like, you're bored at a baseball game, right? So I think that's totally awesome. MLB stepping it up. It's going to be great for them. My team, I grew up, born and raised a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Oh, God damn it, Lisa. God, we got Sean here, Hightower Sean, who's probably going to kill us all one day. Mm. Diehard Cowboys fan. Tell me you're not married to one. Like, it's jean shorts and a pack of cools and a tank top there, Cowboys fans.
Yeah, no. And we're not all like that. And that is so not true. But you asked about my drafting. It was my first year in the Howard Stern League, and I went too heavy on Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
It was a year that Romo got injured, Dez Bryant got injured, and Jason Witten got injured. And I was like, okay, now I've realized the beauty of fantasy is to follow every other player and every other team. So when your team only wins 8 games season after season after season, I mean, the 90s when we were going to the Super Bowl was a really long time ago. There's kids that were born and they don't even know the Cowboys have been in the Super Bowl, right? So I realized quickly that you don't draft with your heart. You don't draft as a fan.
There are kids who are college graduates who've never seen the Cowboys. I just want to make it clear. Yeah. You say kids and people think 18 and below. No, there are college graduates. There are people with graduate degrees who have never seen the Cowboys win a fucking Super Bowl.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Just so we're clear.
Yeah, just so we're clear. But that's also why I brought that up.
Okay, so just so we're clear, there's multi-generations not seen the Cowboys win.
Yeah, there are kids with kids.
There are kids with kids who've never seen the Cowboys win. But that's why I asked that question, because whenever you start fantasy, you don't really know what you're doing, and you start picking your favorite players on your favorite teams because you're convinced you're going to have a great year, like many Cowboys fans, that they're going to have an awesome year, they're going to win the Super Bowl every single year, and it's not the case.
I don't like that, though. Even in fantasy baseball, I don't like taking players on my team because I don't want the added pressure. I enjoy watching my team because I have a stake in that game already.
Right.
Because I'm a fan of that team. So for me, the fantasy part is to give me a stake in all the rest of the games.
You know what I mean? Sure.
So unless it's like a superstar, like I've had Acuña, Freddie Freeman and people like that on my team because I'm a Braves fan, but I'm not going to put like their down ballot guys.
Got it.
That's not going to be, I'm not going to, when I'm filling out my bench.
I'm a Mets fan, so I don't.
Yeah,
I don't take any Mets on my fantasy baseball team, especially pitching. Okay, so like I'm the same when it comes to fantasy baseball. There's not one. I mean, my last Mets player was Daniel Murphy, which was like 2015 or 16.
That's before he went to Washington, right? Yeah, that was
when he had a great season, and we decided to let him go. Yeah.
Yeah, was the right decision because he fucking tanked afterwards. So
he had a couple moments. Yeah. You know, every time a player leaves your team and hits a home run, you feel the impact when that ball hits that bat because they're no longer hitting that home run for your team.
Well, look, the Mets suck, and they will always suck. We're Braves fans here.
We're Braves fans. Look, I just don't see a world in which the Mets get better. They buy everybody.
I mean, they've
but
had
they always get hurt. Like with, the, yeah.
Listen, in New
the
York,
pitching,
yeah. Everyone thought Steve Cohen was the unicorn that was going to change the whole dynamic of the New York Mets. Yep. And I was like, still the Mets. We still have Mets kind of luck. It's just who we are.
Yeah, lovable losers, right? They were the first. And before the Cubs, nobody gave a fuck about the Cubs since 1908. You know what I mean? And so through the for the 60s, that was the worst team in baseball history, right? That 61 Mets team, is that right? Before the Tigers had that really bad season? Can you guys look that up? I think it was the 61 Mets.
God, I love that.
Or something
I love
like that.
You can just look at people and say, can you look that up? I do all my shit by myself. Nobody looks it up for me.
Really?
The 1962 Mets lost 120 games.
Oh, God.
God.
So that is the worst team. Nobody else has ever lost 120.
It's the worst team of all
time. I was off by one goddamn year. You fucking kidding me? Yeah. Anyways, so that team has had, and then there was the Miracle Mets, right? In 68 or 69?
69, yeah.
Yeah, 69. So, yeah. I mean, it's a miracle when the Mets do well.
Yes.
It took Buckner fucking that play up for the Mets to win their only World Series.
Otherwise, you know they would have lost that too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, fuck out of here with the Mets.
It's incredible. No, look.
I love Keith Hernandez growing up. He was one of my favorite. Even though I was a Braves fan, I loved Keith Hernandez.
I love Keith Hernandez, though, for his mustache, not so much as, like, because he was on the Mets.
Wally Backman, I like because he was a fucking asshole. And if you don't understand what I mean by that, go look up Wally Backman Coach on YouTube. You can see one of the most epic rants, on-field rants of all time. He's like a double-A baseball coach or some shit.
Yeah. And he's fucking...
I love Hernandez the best when he was on Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah, that was good. Yeah. He's not a bad actor.
Great actor.
He should have gone John Sally and turned that into a fucking career.
I think he tried. He did a lot of those Just for Men commercials.
It's hard when you've got a mustache. Yeah. If you're a white man with a mustache, I feel like people, there's one of two things. You're either a state trooper or a pedophile, right?
Yeah, there's no in between.
Or Tom Selleck, but he's clearly not Tom Selleck.
Yeah, there's only one Tom Selleck. But there's a lot of pedophiles.
That we know of.
Yeah, that we know they of. Could exactly.
Be. I mean, Tom Selleck has reached a level of success for so long at this point, it would not surprise me if he had clones that he's borrowing body parts from.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like that, what's that, the island or some shit?
I forget.
With Ewan McGregor? Yeah. It's the island, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying this. Like, if I had to bone a dude, right? 81 Selleck.
With the shorty shorts?
Yes, dude.
Oh, yeah, and the red Ferrari?
Yeah. I'd be a power bottom for Selleck, dude. I mean, if I had to do it, obviously. I'm not.
As you say that in the clown costume, I ask your producers to clip that in that outfit and make it a nice social media.
That's already done right now.
Yeah. Hightower Sean is up there looking through his scope right now, dude, and he's got that on lock.
Yeah, well,
he's got that on lock. So you're a Mets fan and a Cowboys fan. How does it get worse? Are the Knicks your?
Yeah,
NBA
you're a
team?
Knicks fan too. Jesus Christ.
I've decided to stay completely neutral in NBA. I grew up a Philadelphia 76ers fan. My first NBA game was in 1983 at the Spectrum. The Sixers won it all that year. And again, they haven't done anything really since, even though I do somewhat trust the process. I love fantasy basketball, and I love basketball. So to choose a team and only watch, you know, one or two games a week during the season, I watch games every day. It's my favorite backdrop other than right now during the day. I love watching training camp live while I'm working. I mean, it just gets me excited. I know they're not really doing much out there, but we didn't get to see reporters there last year. So seeing them there this year is really refreshing. But NBA, I follow players. They move so much now.
Yeah.
You can't be loyal to a team. So I just follow all the players and enjoy the NBA.
How many players slide in your DMs on like a regular basis? And the reason I ask, we have someone on staff here who dated somebody relatively famous. And then there was all kinds of professional athletes in their DMs. Somebody like you, it's got to be fucking nonstop. I would go over under, since we're gambling, and that's all we do here, is we're junkies, hence I'm dressed like a clown, over under 5 a week.
So that would have been an over, let's say, 10 years ago. Like, okay, because Twitter first started in 2009.
Uh-huh.
At that time, it was probably 50 a week. But, you know, at this point, I know everybody. So if there's a player on a team that knows me and another player wants to meet me, somebody will reach out to me. Agents reach out to me. People reach out to me and say, hey, my friend wants to meet you. Or, hey, you know, we're all getting together. You want to hang out. So the DMs have stopped because I think the players have less trust than ever. That's why it was so incredibly surprising to hear that Deshaun Watson was booking massages through Instagram DMs. Like, you couldn't be dumber than that. All of that stuff is available to be screenshot and shared. And
yeah.
So I think a lot of players, look, their agents have gotten smarter. I told them, please beware of social media. If they're going to hit you up, they're going to hit you from a burner account. You're not going to trust it. You're not going to believe it's a real account. So now it's more by word of mouth. And the players will just reach out to people and say, do you know this person? Do you have a contact with this person? And, you know, amongst me and some of the girls in the industry and some of my other friends, we kind of will share contacts mutually by asking each other, hey, so-and-so reached out. But at this point now, it's pretty comfortable that somebody on every team knows me and can reach out to me if somebody wants to say hello.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I recently saw Dwayne Haskins. And look, I'm not amped because he's an Ohio State alum. But about 2 weeks ago, I don't know if you saw this story, went into this girl's DMs that he dated. They had like a one-night stand or maybe a weekend stand, whatever you want to call it. And then he asked for his shit back. And he said, look, I gave you some jewelry. I gave you some other things.
My DM? That's so good.
In a DM. And he said, now, my guess is it is no lie. You can check this DM. Hot Bob, you can pull it up. Pull up Dwayne Haskins' DM. By my estimations, it was about $25,000 worth of jewelry and I believe luggage. And she was like, hey, dude, you know, I'm just going to screenshot this and blast you on like in public. And he was like, yeah, but I feel like I'm being fair on this. And I was like, what the fuck? Of course, that immediately went out and went viral.
Wait, is he not being what were the circumstances under which he gave this woman $25,000 worth of whatever, and under what circumstances did he request it?
Yeah, one date he gave her all that shit.
Yeah, and she wrote back and said these were gifts. I'm not giving them back to you. I don't give a shit what you do. And then posted that as well. Like,
but
her
he
response
did. From what amazing. I understand, the request that he made wasn't like aggressive or angry. It was very matter of fact,
correct,
but more or less polite. That makes it weirder to me. Like, if he had to say, hey bitch, give me my shit back, I'd have been like, all right, that's just some dumb doing dumb shit. But what led up to that, like, a series of seemingly rational decisions led us to this point. That troubles me way more.
Yeah,
because his compass for rationality is completely fucked.
Bob, do you have it? It's up. It's on
throw
the
it up on the screen, would you?
Okay.
I will say this too. Like, how many times did he date her that he bought her all that shit? I mean, to me, that sounds like a real high class hooker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spread it out here. I'll read it to you. It says, I'm not petty, for real. You can send what I know I spent, but it's $20,000. Cool. Respectfully. If you're not about to stand on what I'm saying, just go ahead and do your business and send what you know I spent, and any good person will do. And it's just go ahead and send me $20,000.
Is that like a shooter's shoot kind of situation? But in this case, instead of shooting your shot, you're begging for your shit back. It's weird, right?
If you're a professional athlete, dude, and you're doing this in
really
the DMs.
It's really weird. Yeah, that's just lazy. But look, he's the same player that lost his gig during COVID protocols for having this little party and there were photos taken.
Yeah.
The compass is definitely out of sorts for this kid. And it's too bad because he could be really talented. But these continued mistakes, they start to build up. And you can see, like, okay, look, we saw Jameis Winston make mistakes years ago, but he's really cleaned up his act and hasn't acted that way. Dwayne Haskins, you buy a girl something, you're not seeing her anymore. Like, you have enough money. Like, forget about it. Stop buying girls that much shit. Next time, don't buy her all that shit on the first date and be done with it. Be smart.
And I think Jameis Winston stopped eating crab legs altogether. So I think he's all done with that.
I don't think that was the point. I think stealing was the problem.
Ah, was it the stealing?
Yeah, he's not like, he doesn't have an allergy to shellfish or anything.
Didn't know, you know?
Well, maybe he does, though. Who knows?
Something you
maybe
find out later on in life, Lisa.
Maybe that's what was wrong with his eyes.
Before the LASIK? Yeah. You mean before the LASIK surgery? Yeah. Which I want to test out this LASIK. I mean, last year we didn't really get to see the improvement in him due to the LASIK. It's what I'm living for right
really,
now.
Really, it was due to Drew Brees clinking on to his career, which is non-existent. And then the Saints, for whatever reason, chose to put Taysom Hill in front of Jameis Winston. That made no sense. They brought him over there because they thought the eye surgery plus some tutelage under Drew Brees would turn him into a real quarterback, right?
Right.
He threw for 5,000 yards.
Yeah.
He just threw a lot of picks.
Yeah,
so it was like,
yeah.
Then they just wasted a whole year.
Eh, it was an NFL record of picks, but whatever.
Yeah, 31 picks, I think.
It was 30 for 30.
30 for 30, 30
picks, 30 touchdowns in the same year.
Yeah. Yeah, outstanding.
And he leaves Tampa Bay, and they go to the Super Bowl without him.
Yeah, how did they do? Did they do all right?
Yeah, they did all right.
Yeah, they won the Super Bowl, I believe, yeah.
Who?
Right,
Tampa Bay. Old Tampa Bay.
So you're saying that bringing on the best quarterback in the history of God and the world and everything is a good decision to make?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And good for them.
Yeah.
Who do you got? I know it's early. I know it's early to make predictions. Dak Prescott doesn't appear as if he might play at all. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with that guy. Now he's got a shoulder problem. His leg broke in half 40 times.
Oh, my God. How could you say that to a Cowboys fan?
I know.
He said it to
Post
Malone.
How could you say that? Just because the shoulder thing? Like, you got me freaking.
I said it to Post Malone. And I got chastised afterward. They were like, you know, that's his best friend. I said to him, the Cowboys will never win with Dak Prescott as their quarterback. They'll never win a Super Bowl. And he was like, you know, I'm best friends with Dak Prescott. And I go, I mean, that's cool. Like, I'm friends with a lot of people who won't win Super Bowls. You
yeah.
know?
Most of, I would say, all of my friends. I would say the vast majority of my friends will never win a Super Bowl. Almost all of them. Probably, right? Shit, I don't know.
So who do you got this year? We'll go way too early prediction here. Since we're in training camp, who do you got winning the Super Bowl?
You know, it's winning. This is very early, but I'm looking at the same thing as last year. I'm looking at the Chiefs-Bucks going at it again. I think the Chiefs have a really good chance. I'm never, ever going to discount what Tom Brady can do, his leadership on the field, the pieces that he brought in. You know, Gronk was just such a great addition. Antonio Brown was a great addition, but they still have Cameron Brate. They still have so many options. Little Scotty Miller there, who we saw Tom Brady liked. I mean, playoff Lenny. I love what they have, but I think the Chiefs are incredibly inspired. They were missing some pieces in their line last year. We have to remember there were so many players that opted out due to COVID protocols before the season started. The Chiefs were affected by that. We also know that Mahomes was playing a little bit banged up, which is going to be even more common this year because we're going 17 weeks instead of 16.
Yep.
So, but I do see that. But then again, there's a wild card out there for me. And my wild card play is the Los Angeles Rams. And we haven't seen Stafford win a playoff game, but we also haven't seen him have this kind of weapons and this kind of a defense as well. The Rams have both sides of the ball working for them. So they're my wild card in this. And I think the only reason there would be a transition or a change from my thoughts of the Chiefs or the Bucks is just due to injury.
Yeah, oddly enough, because we don't do the show until next week, actually, but I have the exact same. But I've got the Chiefs coming back and beating the Bucks this year in the Super Bowl. If I'm going to go out and throw two wild cards in there, the Rams and the NFC, and then the Bills and the AFC, we'll see if Josh Allen, with that big boy deal he just signed, can put it together.
I'm looking at the Titans.
Ah, shit. Yeah, that's a great
one. I wouldn't
one.
Sleep
that's
on the Titans one. Either, yep.
They got fucking A.J. Yep. Brown and Julio Jones now.
Yeah.
Fuck, kidding me?
Yeah. And with, yep.
yeah.
With Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Good luck.
Henry. Yeah.
It could good be luck. That could be a
I
nasty
miss
Jonnu team,
Smith, though. I already miss Jonnu Smith for the Tennessee Titans. Mm. I love that fit there for him.
Yeah. Where did he go to?
Patriots.
That's right.
It's in New England.
And they have no one to throw him the ball there, so.
Well, maybe.
But they have Hunter Henry and him. They have two tight ends to try and build back what they had years ago with the two tight end sets.
Well, unless they're getting Brady back, they're not going anywhere.
Or unless one of the tight ends murders somebody, that probably won't hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We
frown on that.
Yeah, because we know you're big fantasy football. We do a thing because we host six leagues for our show. One of them is a cutthroat killers league where you win a signed jersey by an actual NFL murderer. You must have killed somebody while you play.
Killer, not murderer.
Killer.
It may seem like a subtle distinction to you, but as someone who kills people professionally or has killed people professionally, there is a distinction there.
Absolutely.
One you don't go to jail for.
Where does OJ, can I ask? Where does OJ fall into that?
Right here.
Right behind there.
Murderer?
Right there.
He's up here and he's right here. Oh, you mean
he's also here.
On the scale.
Our heart.
Did you see that fucking shit he said the other day?
Greatest. Yes, he will go out in LA.
Oh my God.
He thinks the murderer right be next to him. OJ, if you're at a restaurant by yourself in LA, the murderer is with you.
Yeah.
Look, the real killer's out there. He was acquitted. Obviously all the memorabilia on our set was signed before he murdered two people. So OJ, a signed OJ jersey was 1 year. Last year was Ray Lewis. So we had him, and then this year is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Were you aware that he killed somebody?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some dude tried to break into his house and steal his fucking Xbox or some shit, and he
blew him away. Blew him away. So
you're serious with me?
Yeah. Big fans. We're big fans of that.
Self-defense, though, murder, which is awesome.
Well, again, it's not murder.
Stateside kill.
That's a homicide, but it's not murder. God damn it.
It's a stateside kill, and we're proud of it. We're proud of it. Also, so that's the jersey we're giving away this year.
Also, the Browns added Jadeveon Clowney to that defense already.
Uh-huh.
And if OBJ will just come and not be a bitch, I think they've got a pretty good shot as well.
They need a quarterback. The Browns are the Browns.
With their two running backs and the defense they have, they could still win.
They have a fantastic team. If they had a fucking quarterback, it would be amazing.
Well, maybe you can come out of retirement.
Me?
Yeah. But well, you'd have to wear that.
We'll see. You know, no good at it. I was rooting for the Browns to actually draft a quarterback this year.
I don't even know who they did draft, to be honest.
I don't either, man. The Browns have stayed relatively quiet this year. So we'll see. OBJ is coming back from injury, and we'll figure it all the fuck out here real goddamn soon. So,
did you see his recent addition? Did you see his grill?
Oh, did he put a grill in? Yeesh. Was that for to protect his teeth from poop or?
Yeah.
No, it's but it was a big deal because of how much it's worth. It was a ridiculous investment.
Well, he's
a ridiculous person. Yeah, you heard about him getting shit on, obviously, right?
I've heard everything. I've heard it all. I've heard it all. I've heard it all. Yes.
What do you think? The story's true or false? I thought when I listened to her podcast and her describing it, it seemed too real. Like it had to have happened to me.
Listen, I'm not going to say I believe it at all. I do know him personally as a friend. I've been in shared spaces with him. He gets a house in LA every summer. So when I lived in LA, we had a lot of mutual friends. He is very private. It doesn't seems like that would be a bit something reckless for him to even trust somebody. He's usually not alone with people. He's very distrusting, which he has to be because everybody's at him all the time. But he's been nothing but really cool and incredibly polite and always kind when I've been around. So that's all I know of him. So that's all I think of him.
Well,
good.
Look, there's a lot of people that we all know who do wild shit in the bedroom, and who cares, right? We don't kink shame on this show. Never have, never will, right? If he wants to get shit on, that's his own prerogative. Nobody's like, that's not, you're not breaking the law on that. As far as I know.
Remember,
right?
That song, Breaking the Law?
Yeah.
That was a good one.
It was a great song.
Yeah.
So, he's not breaking the law.
Do you think people are still doing things like that post-COVID? I guess we're still in COVID.
Yes.
Well, I never.
I think it's gotten wilder.
Certain
I think
things like that would be.
I think sex has gotten wilder because you were cooped up. You were stuck in the house the whole time. And then now that it's over, you're like, fuck it. It's bulls on parade.
I never stopped. I'm not afraid of any of this.
No, me neither.
Right, I'm not
so what
fat.
You're thinking is every girl that didn't have anal before the pandemic sat there when she was isolated at home thinking, why didn't I do anal with the last seven guys that asked me? I'm going to do it with the next seven guys before they even ask me?
100%.
No, that didn't. That definitely did not happen.
Yes.
Why do you not agree with that could have happened?
Giorgio, yeah. Giorgio, you're the single guy here. Has that been going
on? Yeah.
Has it... Yeah. Well, we can hear you talking, Rob. Jesus Christ.
Bob, we can hear you for Christ's sake.
Fucking piece of shit.
Yeah. Go ahead,
Giorgio. You're not supposed to
hear you. Here's the question. Do you think that people were so cooped up during the lockdown bullshit that women regretted not having done anal in the past and just gave it up without even being asked afterwards? And I'm asking you because you're the guy that's single here.
Why do they need a guy to do anal, first of all? If they want to try anal, they're trying it by themselves. There's an Amazon second-day delivery. Dildos were essential over the pandemic. And I feel like you could really like lean in at home, you know, really dive into some of those kinks you haven't explored before.
I don't believe that at all.
Let me tell you from experience, the dildo is not a great first experience. It's way too hard.
Yes.
It's not as flexible, and it doesn't ease going into you. You actually do need live, real penis for you to have successful anal. A toy sucks. Strap-on sucks. It's never the same. So,
well, condoms
yes,
suck
you
too.
Could have gotten... That's why people get in relationships. They don't use condoms. Yes, you could have gotten the toy and done it yourself, but I do believe that... There were a lot of people that made the list of things they didn't do sexually. I was not in that mindset. I was looking at my content as I was recycling it onto my OnlyFans and just slinging it day by day is what I call it when I'm updating recycled content. And I was thinking, I have no regrets locked in my house. This is amazing. I've lived my life to the fullest and I've done everything.
Man, I'm going to go ahead and make a statement here on Giorgio because you just got shut the fuck down. I mean, absolutely shut the fuck down. Do you know how nervous Giorgio has been for weeks that you were coming on the show? Like,
can I follow Giorgio on social media? Will you send me all of Giorgio's information? Hi, Giorgio.
Absolutely, yes. Giorgio, is it just Giorgio on Instagram? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's JUST.GIORGIO.
Yes. So he was like, hey, dude, no lie. Lisa, this is no lie. Before we came on today, he goes, shit, man, I'm worried. I'm nervous today. And I was like, why? And he goes, you should never meet your heroes. And I was like, well, don't blow it today. First thing out of his mouth, he fucking blew it, dude. And
I don't think he blew it. He's coming from a good place. He's trying to empower people at home.
I guess, right? But that's stupid. Everything she said is correct. Why would you sit on something hard for your first time out?
What was the first thing?
Crazy to me. First and foremost, I love that you give your email address on your Twitter bio. That's what all the hookers do. Like, it's usually like contact or for bookings at Gmail. So I love that Giorgio is just out there throwing his just Giorgio around. I'm all about that. And no, I didn't mean to shut you down, buddy. And I hope that I'm still a hero that you wanted to meet and that you still think I'm like MILF-tastic and all of that other stuff. I love you, Giorgio.
When a woman like this calls you buddy, it's almost like she just picked you up from after school and it was like, no, your mom sent me, buddy.
That's like
you're supposed to pick you up
today.
That's
like you show her your dick for the first time and she says, aw.
Yes, aw. That's nice.
You know what I want to hear that.
No guy wants, aw, that's a nice thing.
No guy wants to hear that.
Oh, proud of you. Look at you, big guy, huh?
But don't dig too deep because you look like that right now. So it's like,
It's
you can only make a point up to a certain level looking like that, and then you got to dial it back a little bit.
I will not apologize for shamelessly soliciting myself.
No, you should. Giorgio's got his own OnlyFans, but it's only gay Marines that subscribe to it.
It is, and that's true, by the way.
But that's he's doing it for his country, obviously.
Yeah, so he
cares.
Has to.
He's getting money. The bank doesn't know who sent it. I mean, it's paying his bills, right, Giorgio?
Very limited amount of money. It's really for the love of the game. And
how much? Let's compare. How much are you making a month, Giorgio?
Off of my 16 subscribers, I'm making about $94 a month after tips and taxes.
Giorgio, I'm going to subscribe just so you have a different number of subscribers. What is your monthly fee so I know in advance? What are you charging?
$5.
Oh, my. $4.99 or $5?
$5.
You got to go down to $4.99. It affects the psyche a lot. You'll get an extra two members right away. So that's an adjustment. I'm at $12.99. I try to keep 2,300 to 2,500 members happy a month. That's all I need to do. But all just recycled from my 30 years of being in the business.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Giorgio is a member, I believe, right?
No.
Yeah.
If she's recycling content, you know, it's just...
Well, listen, it's not time-sensitive shit. I fucked a bunch of people, okay? It's not time-sensitive, okay? And I wanted to be age-stacked at a certain... I'm going to be 50 next year. I don't need to be slinging around my naked body at 50. Everything looks good to a certain age. Then you're like, okay, let me step away. Nobody knows other than my hairstyle once in a while. You'd be like, oh, that was the 90s. But hey, they love the 90s content too. I still had a full bush. Everything was different.
Lisa, you've been on enough podcasts. You know, we got some sponsors that put this whole shit wagon on the air. First and foremost is ghostbed.com/drinking bros. D'Anthony, my God, it was hot over the weekend. Thank God for that cooling mattress.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was rough.
Jeez.
We went to Monster Jam this weekend too. So
Monster Jam.
I don't know what else to say about that.
Gravedigger
speaks for itself.
Yeah,
Gravedigger
was the winner.
Gravedigger.
That's right. Not a, we're not using a hard R.
No. No, that was fun. But yeah, Ghostbed. It's. I keep forgetting to keep all the blinds closed in the house, and even though it's set on like 65 degrees, I come home at 75. I'm like, God. Damn it.
Yeah.
Every single time. Today we actually closed them, but it is a nice luxury to have that fucking cooling mattress.
Yeah, it's amazing. The cooling pillows are amazing right now. You're getting two free pillows with a mattress. Everything is 30% off with the promo code Drinking Bros, as always, but now they've got a 40% off flash sale for the bundle packages. That's the adjustable base in the mattress. 40% off at ghostbed.com/drinking bros. As always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program that is zero interest in that if you have decent credit. And yes, all of the deals that we just mentioned earlier are applicable with the 36-month pay-as-you-go program. I'm not sure how they're making any money, but that cuts down a bedroom set to like $35-$38 a month. Go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros today and get on it, son. Next up, we got mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros will double your deposit up to $1,000. Preseason football has already started. Week one odds are out, D'Anthony, for all of the NFL and all of college football.
This is going to be a fun season. A lot of people are coming back. Saquon and fucking CMC are coming back this year. That's going to be exciting. You're going to see, I mean, say what you want about Prescott, but he's got all the receivers any human being could ever want in life. He may lead. If he were the top scorer in fantasy this year, that would not surprise me at all.
Me neither.
Even I like just... the first four or five games last year, they were averaging 32 fucking points a game already.
Yeah.
It's just all in all. And then the Chiefs are coming back. Well, I say coming back, even though they're in the fucking Super Bowl, because you're just expecting to win. But they shored up the left side of their line now. And it's going to be fucking bulls on parade, at least for Mahomes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And look, Cowboys are playing the Bucs week one.
Yeah.
That's the opening game of the season, actually. That spread's already up.
Yeah.
It's -6.5 for Tampa Bay. I'm all over that. I think Tampa Bay wins that by a touchdown.
A lot of teams have improved
at home, and I'm looking forward to it. Look, all of our bets are on mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Again, we'll double your deposit up to $1,000. Now's the time. Daddy doesn't miss during football season. I know I'm a clown today, but let's face it. I still won that bet with you guys on the weekend. It was on my bookie. It was +12.5 for France. They smashed that. USA only won by 5 points in that game. We still won, kids. Even though I lost today as a clown, we still won at mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your deposit up to $1,000. Last but not least is a new jerky company we are working with that is the tastiest jerky we've ever had in our entire lives. They are local. They are out of Austin. It is purejerkyco.com. That's purejerkyco.com on that one. Promo code Drinking Bros gets you 10% off of it. I've never had a better jerky than this in my entire life.
No, it's the best. I mean, it's made by a local Austin chef. The recipe is made by a local Austin chef. I don't know what to say about it. It's the best. It's hard to quantify. It's not super thin and dry.
Yeah.
Thick, meaty, still isn't super dried out or anything like that. Like if you get big bark style jerky, it's dry as fuck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is not. I don't know how they're doing it, but whatever it is, it's an HEB too, so they're mass producing it.
Starting in October, they'll be in every grocery store in Texas.
Yeah.
So we're amped, and this is something that, for the long term, Dan and I are thinking about partnering up with these guys because we love it. I've never had a better jerky in my entire life, and it's super cheap, dude. You can get 4 bags for like $25 or 8 for like $50. This shit is the best goddamn jerky I've ever had in my life. Go to purejerkyco.com. That is purejerkyco.com. Drinking Bros, 10% off. I'd tell you what, let us know what you think about it after you buy it and hit us up. If there's a better jerky, let me know. I doubt it, but we're thinking about working with these guys in the long run here. So hit us up after you buy it and let us know if it is indeed as good as we think it is. That is purejerkyco.com. That's purejerkyco.com. Promo code Drinking Bros gets you 10% off. Thank you, Lisa. You look identical, though. That's the thing is like, I think for somebody like you, because how long have you been retired from porn now?
Couple of years, a little over 2 years.
Okay, so a little over 2 years.
I retired in 2014. Then I went back for 15 months for a stint, and then I left again.
Yeah, because with you, you look identical right now as the same as you did for the last 30 years. I don't know what you're doing or what fucking deal you made with the devil, but one would imagine, like, when you walk down the streets, everybody still knows you where it's just like, holy shit, I jacked off to you. Like, it, at some point or another, all of us had, and we were talking about it before going on air, like, you're one of the GOATs. Like, if there was a Hall of Fame for pornography, you're
Which
in
there
their first
is, by
ballot.
The way.
Is there really?
We do have a Hall of Fame. After you've been in the business for 15 years, you automatically get inducted into our Hall of Fame. All you have to do is live the 15 years to get there. Which doesn't happen for everybody, sadly.
No. A lot of them die, and we talk about it on the show all the time. So whenever a porn star dies, there's two things that make me sad. When a supermodel dies and when a porn star dies. And I dedicate
those are the only two things that make you sad?
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, he's like Job from the Bible. He's lost an entire family before the one he has right now.
Yeah.
He never even thinks about it.
Yeah, like when August Ames died, that was like one of the most recent, most
famous.
Well,
that was just like a bunch of bullying. That wasn't like
That was a horrible situation. December 6, 2017.
Yeah. Dakota Sky, the woman that died last month, I think. That was a drug overdose, right?
Yeah, that happened.
That happens a lot as well, but this one was not. Like, August Ames was not
a
that.
Lot.
She like right. got, she got fucking bullied.
So say that date again. December, what was it, 16th?
December 6, 2017. And that year, from November to December, about 8 girls in the industry died. And so that was a really tough 2 months, really, really tough, because the younger girls get even more fragile when they're around it so much. It becomes so normalized, right? August's story was very unique. She was a very bright, cheery, beautiful person. And, you know, like any young person, just trying to be liked by her peers. And she said something on social media that really got people turned against her. And she was just voicing her opinion, but we know.
Yeah.
We really don't have the right to say our own opinion anymore. If you're a celebrity, you don't have free speech. And if you think you do, just try it. You'll be fucking canceled, okay? So
unless you're Charles Barkley, right? Charles Barkley says whatever he wants.
Of course.
But that's the key. You have to be like Charles Barkley. When somebody comes to you and says, hey, I don't like that joke you made about fat women in San Antonio, you can say, hey, it was a joke. Go fuck yourself.
Right.
And then you can't be canceled.
But remember, Charles Barkley is not on social media for that reason. So he can't be cancel cultured by social media. So he wouldn't even see it if it happened. Wouldn't even affect him.
But someone like you, I feel like you could not be canceled because you've done everything there is to do in this world. Like, what else is left for you besides maybe three words that you couldn't say? What could you possibly cancel her for?
What do you mean canceled? I don't know. Go maybe if.
Oh, there's a million things I could be canceled for. I just only my friends know about them, and I don't speak about them on social media. My actual opinion on the world, politics, all of these things. If anyone outside of my handful of friends, you know, got to hear my opinion, I'd be canceled, right? So I just don't voice my opinion. But when you were saying about me, I'm going to tell you, when I first got in the business, my first contract was very specific to the point where I was not allowed to get any tattoos. I was not allowed to change my hair color or adjust the length of my hair color. I had to stay within 10 pounds. At 20 pounds, your contract is canceled. So there were all these things brought to me that were like, you have to look exactly the same for your entire career to maximize. And that just stuck with me. So I've always stayed within that look, stayed within that weight, not made any drastic changes. And that's how it started.
Man, that's crazy. Would they actually bring out a scale and say, all right, hop on the scale. Let's see what your weight is.
You would be weighed your first time, but if they saw you were putting on weight, they would just cancel your shoots until you lost the weight.
So they don't show up to your house like Serena Williams and you have to hide in your fucking panic room from a drug test or whatever?
Yeah, well, they don't care about drugs. I mean, you're fine on drugs.
Yeah, but it's one to the other.
Yeah, care about the weight.
Yeah.
It's true.
Exactly.
Depends on the drug, I guess.
Well, you got to do that yayo. That meth will do it real quick. That meth will do it real fucking fast.
But it does affect
fast.
The skin. The downside with the meth is what it does to the girl's skin.
I know.
But believe me, I had an agency for a couple of years, for 4 years in the industry, and producers would call me after a girl went off of meth that had put on weight. And they're like, man, some of these girls need to go back on drugs. And I'm like, yeah, but you were complaining about her skin when she was thin because she had all those marks. And they're like, you got to choose one, you know? But it's a joking conversation we have.
Are you married now, by the way?
I am not. I did try it once. At that time, I realized I was allergic. I am not opposed to trying it again, but obviously it's not a goal because I was married at 27. We were together a total 7 years, dating and married.
Okay.
So just 7 years. So by 31, I was getting divorced, 32. And I haven't lived with another guy or been in another serious relationship since. I did just try to have a serious relationship. It lasted 6 months. It was with a civilian, not in the business, not a celebrity, not an athlete. And it ended poorly, which was a great experience for me because now I realize that, like, dudes sometimes lie. And I ended up getting a Cartier watch and a love bracelet out of it because he had a whole nother relationship going on.
Did he send you a shit? Did he happen to send you a DM asking for any of that stuff back?
This was sent to me so I didn't DM his girlfriend and explain to her who I was. This was sent to me, and donations were made to Planned Parenthood and Plan in my name for me to just move along with my life and not make a big deal of this.
No fucking way.
Yep, man. I bartered hard. I went to Petty Fuckingville. I moved into Pettyville for like 48 fucking hours, and I just jolted his whole world. And then I went to Cartier with the cash. I told them the story. They loved it, and I got my goods, and now I know what time it is. It's not time to trust anybody.
Goddamn right it's not.
Do you own a boat? Because Georgia,
I don't. There's a lot of Lisa Ann boats out there. I just got two pictures yesterday from two different harbors of boats that said Lisa Ann.
Well, that's so Giorgio, the gentleman we've been speaking about, has a thing for, you know, women in your age bracket with your particular look who own boats. So all I'm saying is, if you really want a shot with the guy, I know you're going to stalk him on social media now. If you really want a shot with him, you need to get a boat.
Yeah, you got to get a boat. You got to get a boat. Any chance you'll get married again?
I would get married again. Do I have to buy the boat before I get the proposal? Boats are a lot of responsibility.
And sure,
Giorgio,
yeah.
I got to find out if he's worth it. Let me meet him first, see if he's worth it. If he's worth it, then I can drop the money on the boat.
I don't know that he's worth it. I love you, Giorgio. I'm just saying this as a friend. Like, I don't know if you're... we'll bring him around. We'll bring him around on camera.
So Giorgio loves MILFs. What you're telling me right now is Giorgio loves MILFs.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. There
Hi,
we go.
Giorgio.
There it is.
You love MILFs, don't you, Giorgio? You'd like an older woman who's put together and has her own money and needs nothing from you except for you to perform sexual acts on a regular basis.
Exactly. And it is exactly what she wants and is content with life. And yeah, it's great. Exactly.
Yeah.
Nail on the head.
Yeah, he doesn't want any kids,
and,
anything
you have,
else.
You have multicolored hair. Wait a second. Back up, Giorgio.
Yeah, yeah,
take
yeah,
that
yeah.
hat off.
There it is.
This was actually a bet.
Ask him how he got the hair.
Yeah.
So
a lot of betting. A lot of losing going on over here.
Lot of betting. So this one, I had bet. I put the house on Jake Paul, actually. Jake Paul against Ben Askren. Giorgio used to wrestle back in the day with Ben Askren, and
not for fun, like he was on the Missouri wrestling team.
Correct.
The way you said it was like he used to wrestle.
Well,
like that's
how hang out on Thursdays and wrestle after school. Yeah.
Like how parents used to say their kids are artistic. Like no, yeah. he likes wieners.
Yeah, yeah,
is
yeah,
what's
yeah.
happening there.
Absolutely.
Right?
So I bet the house on Jake Paul. Obviously, Jake won, and so Giorgio had to dye his hair blonde. But a weird thing happened because, as you know, that fight was a long time ago. He actually looks better with it, and I've created a look for Giorgio that is now out into the world, and he's never gotten more women than he has since he lost that bet.
Whoa, you're taking a lot of credit for shit here, especially for a guy dressed like you are right
Come
now.
Come on. Come on. You treat me like I'm some fucking clown up here, yeah, Dan, well, and, you know, I am.
You didn't get the honking nose. I'm really disappointed.
Well, they were sold out, and it's no good for sound.
You got to go to Party City, not Walmart, by the way.
Oh, but
yeah. Like, if you really want to get the top level of
Yeah, you're
stuff.
Right. Party City is all year long. You yeah. can get shit like that. Let me ask you, did you drive looking like that?
No.
In a clown suit?
So, oddly enough.
I think you should drive home like that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, I do have a story of driving home as a clown. Did this movie called Pool Boy with Danny Trejo. And in it, I played this character named Tootin' Timmy the Rapping Clown. Well, on the side of his van, he left out a pee. So it was Tootin' Timmy the Raping Clown. horrific, right? So I produced the film. I had to buy the van. And then what we were going to do is return the van afterwards. So I had to drive it home. Super long night shoot. I went to Jack in the Box through the drive-thru to get some tacos.
Yeah, but a Jack in the Box in L.A., they're not going to be surprised by this.
One would think, right? So they were fine with me pulling up as a clown. But then as the van slowly pulled by and it said Raping Clown... Like, no lie, in L.A., because I was driving through, like, East L.A. and shit, like, people were fucking pissed off. I gunned it through every red light to get the fuck out of there because it said Raping.
Yeah, you
got to
go full
van.
Clark Griswold.
Correct.
Lock them up, kids.
Yep, lock them up. Roll them up. So it has happened before, and it'll happen tonight again because we have a show after this that I have to do. I'm not going to stay and wash this shit off in the sink. I'll go home and shower like a gentleman, obviously. Mm. So, yeah,
right.
I will be driving home as a clown tonight. And then the other portion of this is we did an episode, a live show in Orlando, Florida, and we had a woman on the show who specialized in clown pornography.
Yeah. That's true.
Did you have to? Have you ever dressed as a clown in one of your shoots?
I did not. It was not my jam, but I know all about it. And I had to book these types of jobs. And there were many jobs at the time, like let's say 2006, 2007. The internet's popping.
Yeah.
All these random people were making websites. They wanted content. So when I would get new guys, I'd say, listen, I have scenes for you, but you have to be a furry. So they would have to be in these hot costumes as like something else, right?
Yeah.
Sweating their ass off, trying to have sex in these things. So I got a lot of behind the scenes pics from these shoots. It was just floored that it was such a large community. Obviously, the sites did not do that well and the work dried up in that department, which every male performer was happy about because they all complained of how hard it is. I mean, when you're that overheated, it's really hard to get some circulation down there and finish the scene.
So homegirl, she wasn't necessarily having sex with people. It was a lot of solo, like, cam shit that she was doing. And she said that fetish is alive and well. She even taught herself how to blow up balloons. So she would blow up the balloons and actually twist them into animals.
With her vagina?
Oh.
No. With her mouth.
Her vagina or her mouth?
Well, I never really thought to ask.
Yeah.
Until just now.
So with
good
that
follow-up question. Yeah. Great follow-up question.
Here's the crazier part about it was, so she would blow it up with her mouth. They would pay extra for a certain type of animal. Dog, rhinoceros, giraffe, all that other shit.
And probably not a rhinoceros.
She would, right? Well, it's got a horn. Because here's where I'm going with this. She would masturbate with the fucking balloon animal afterwards, and that was all part of the magic, and then she'd get extra money for that. So what I'm saying is, in the cam world...
I wonder if these were latex-free balloons. Yeah.
You know, I'm not...
The cam world is very specific. I mean, there's guys that just want to pay girls to watch them run water over their feet. The most incredible amount of people that just want to see the bottoms of your feet for any amount of money, which is mind blowing to me.
Maybe they're like Christian Louboutin fans because all their souls are red.
Yeah, maybe.
No, they want you barefoot. Yeah, they have to be barefoot. They don't want the bottom of your shoes. They want you barefoot.
Have you heard of WikiFeet?
Yeah.
So WikiFeet is they've got feet.
What's WikiFeet?
Oh my gosh, Bob, pull it up. Pull up Lisa Ann on WikiFeet.
Like what, celebrity feet?
Correct.
Let's see how many feet. Yes,
let's see how many feet pics are actually on WikiFeet, and they'll give you a rating for it as well. So there was a friend of ours who was on the show Christmas Abbott, and
I hope this doesn't hurt my self worth. Okay,
why? How are your feet? Are your feet not?
If I don't have a good rating on my feet.
I think your feet are good. What do we got? Oh, Bob is wincing. What is it, Bob?
We can't show it. It's more than feet.
There's more than feet on there.
Oh,
what's her rating on there? Because the rating is important. So a friend of ours, she had over 1.2 million feet images on there.
Yeah.
And that's where we first learned about
it. That seems like a lot.
Yeah.
She's got a 4.99 out of 5 rating.
Lisa.
On her feet.
You got a 4.9 out of 5.
Who was the one critic?
9.9.
Oh, 9.9.
Okay.
So shit.
So this is just one asshole.
What asshole gave me a low ranking and brought down my number like fucking Yelp reviews, destroying restaurants day in, day out. All right, I feel good about that. I'm going to not run a warm bath tonight, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I will continue to chug forward.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, in the feet department, you're good. Did you ever have to do any of those?
I did a ton of foot fetish work. You know, I first got into the business, I was looking for a contract, so I couldn't shoot for any other companies until I landed this deal. So I needed busy work. And I would do like these pantyhose videos and these feet videos that was really just specific, really specific. They'd pay like $300 and you'd shoot for like 5 hours and you'd shoot all this stuff and just pantyhose, putting them on and off, playing with your feet, putting lotion on your feet, painting your toenails. I mean, to me, that was like such easy money to just show my feet. But lately I've been holding back the feet and not showing them as much. It's like a little backup plan, right? Hopefully if I can take good care of them, when my face starts to look too old to put on camera, I'll just lean completely on my feet.
Yeah, reverse it. You got to reverse it. Because now it's that and like dirty socks and shit. Like you can get dirty socks off of eBay, but it gets really super specific. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, because I sell on a site called My Sexy Auctions. And when a guy wants your socks, he's very specific. He'd like you to wear them for at least like a week straight, not take them off. And I mean, I get that I'm going to sell them to somebody, but I really just don't feel comfortable wearing a pair of socks for a week straight. Wants you to sweat in them. But girls have different tricks. A lot of girls tell me they just throw them on the bottom of their laundry bin and they just continue to pile like damp laundry on top of that laundry for like a week. And when the bottom starts to smell really bad, then they'll sell those socks.
Ah, got it. Yeah, because I mean, I was just breezing through it one day, and you were right. So it would go into specifics of days, the activities they wanted you to do, like go mountain biking, and you're
biking.
Go run in them.
You know, take a long walk in them. It's not just like put them on and lay on your couch. They're specific. Take a spin class in them. Like, you know, they're into it.
Yeah, it's a crazy fact.
In a weird way, though.
Yeah. Go ahead.
These things make me realize that secretly the economy is somewhat thriving because there's people out there buying used socks and weird shit on the internet.
Yeah, but shit like that's recession-proof, right? I mean, that's what the mob always guaranteed. The gambling and pornography were always recession-proof.
Yep.
That's why they went into those two particular businesses.
And in, over in Japan, they sell them in vending machines.
That's why I went into... Yep, that's why I went into these two specific businesses. I mean, I knew when gambling was part of the conversation of fantasy sports, I knew that's where my lean would be heavy.
Yeah.
And porn, yeah, totally recession-proof.
Yeah, it forever will be. I know those guys are like Pornhub and all those guys are having a lot of problems, though, because they've taken down half their fucking site at this point. Where do you think the future of it lies?
You know, I think we're going to get a mix of both. Pornhub decided to start a platform that allowed users that weren't in the industry to upload content. It wasn't a great idea because what you can get on there is content that hasn't been approved by both parties. Mm. You don't have the proper model releases, IDs. You know, legally, producers should be producing content because we know about the 2257 laws. We knew the paperwork. We also know the importance of collecting IDs. But we also know that we want to make sure that both parties are giving complete consent to distribute a product, not just to shoot a home sex video, but to distribute a product. Now we're living in the OnlyFans world where everyone is able to make their own money at home, which was absolutely fantastic during the pandemic, right? Really helped everybody learn how to survive without being back on set. I think that's going to kind of come down. I think that's really ballooned up, like the market going up and down. I think that's going to come down because there's going to be a need for those like Brazzer style scenes again. Everybody likes the campiness of them, the setups that they put together, and there's going to be a need for professional content down the road. But I think for true fans, the reason they love supporting their girls on OnlyFans or their guys, whoever they follow, is because they know deep down inside that this person is choosing actively to do this. They're doing it on their own. No one's forcing them to do anything. And I think there's something very guilt-free about subscribing to a girl or a guy's OnlyFans and buying content directly from them.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, with that, you feel like it's a more personal experience on OnlyFans versus, like, look, when you're watching Pornhub now, you're kind of just like, all right, sweet, this is overly produced. I don't really buy it. I was always more into the amateur shit anyways, but that's just me. Except for, like, the superstars like you are missing, I feel. Like, I don't feel like there's those superstars anymore in that field. Maybe there's not enough money. Dan and I did a show. What was it? It was right before the pandemic. Mm. We sat down with Greg Lansky and chatted with those girls for a while. They just don't have your star quality. I know you don't have to shit on those girls and say anything else or OBJ them, but they don't have that star OBJ quality. Yeah,
do you guys use that expression, OBJ them? Oh, that's actually pretty funny.
All the time. So I'm not going to shit on them, but I feel like the porn world is missing superstars like you.
Well, let me explain something that's very different. You know, when I got into the business in the 90s, we only shot one movie a month. So that one movie was to get your brand name out there. And then you went, you did bookstore signings at like random adult bookstores in like not even paved parking lots in like Virginia. You did dance bookings. You know, you did a lot of other things. So you were actually out there as your own active salesperson, meeting people all over the world. And when you make those in-person connections, they never go away. And the more people you met in person, the more powerful you became, the more popular you became. And I think now it's too easy to just make money shooting scenes 20 days a month. They look at it like a full-time job. That it actually pulls them away from going on the road and doing appearances, feature dancing and doing, because a lot of the newer girls will tell me there's not enough money in feature dancing. I don't want to pack up my shit. It's just too much work. And I would say to them, well, there's no risk when it comes to your health. When you're shooting scenes 20 days a month, most likely you're going to catch something here and there, have to take some time off to medicate, all of that. You don't have that when you're on the road. It is harder work, but there's something so great about how it feels when you've met 1,000 fans in person over a weekend, and you know they're going to be fans for life.
Yeah, no, it's totally true. And then something else that was cool, I remember watching your doc maybe 10 years back, Life After Porn. Did you enjoy that, and what was the feedback? Because it was on Netflix, and I mean, that, I don't know if you know this, but it was one of their highest-rated movies on Netflix.
Yes, that series does really well. There's actually a 3 out now, yep. And my friend Tara Patrick is on the cover of that one. And they went to Italy to shoot her where she lives now. That was a great series to do. And I will tell you, the premiere, I actually took a bunch of NFL players with me to the premiere of After Porn Ends 2 because I knew no one in the industry would recognize them. So I just pretended they were my security and they went along with it, which was a ton of fun. They just took photos for us and like nobody bothered them. I had these huge dudes with me. But it was kind of sad because if you remember the beautiful girl from the 90s who was Chasey Lane.
Oh, yeah.
Chasey is in my version of the doc. And Chasey, you know, her life didn't play out in a really positive way. And when she showed up at the premiere, it was just something else because it's Chasey Lane, Janine. Janine was such a fucking legend in the 90s, right?
Yep.
You had Christy Canyon was there, Nina Hartley, Gina, Ginger Lynn. Like, to me, I was looking at all the girls I saw when I was 18 years old that came to my club in Reading, Pennsylvania as feature dancers. And I was like, in the same room with them in a movie that our careers are done now, right? But I think Chasey really hit me the hardest because I really emulated her when I was younger. She had those stunning blue eyes. She was so absolutely beautiful, but the lifestyle got the best of her. And that's one of the biggest things I fought against my entire time in the business. Like, you're not here for the lifestyle. You're here to make money and set up your life. You're here to travel the world and meet people. You're here to enjoy this experience, but not get lost in this experience. And it's always a bummer when you see somebody just get lost in it like Chasey did.
Yeah, because with you, you're one of the few people that has transitioned into an extremely successful career outside of it. Why does everybody else have so many problems leaving that industry and parlaying it into something else?
Well, the money is intoxicating and addicting. So that's first. That money that you can make in the industry, you're stepping away from it. You know, the day you walk away from it, it's over. So I think that's a big hurdle. The lifestyle is very different. You're not only making money in the business, but people are giving you drugs and alcohol. Now you're out of the business, not making that kind of money, and you have to buy your own drugs and alcohol. Everything really changes dramatically. And, you know, there's a lot of facing judgment. I was thick-skinned. So I knew when I got out into the world, I was going to have to see what it's like living from the outside in instead of looking from the inside out. And the first couple of years were pretty traumatic. I'm not going to lie. It was really eye-opening to see how different I was treated absolutely everywhere I went. I had security with me for so many years of my career everywhere I went that now I was like, I just want to be a regular person, you know, and be out and about doing things. And so I think there's so many little obstacles that it's easy to just turn back and go back. And it's harder to not go back than it is to go back. When you get a case like Janine, who was in my episode of After Porn Ends, she went to jail for tax evasion. Yeah. So for her, it's difficult because the second she gets another job, she has to have her wages garnished. Like, whether it was addiction, whether it was legal problems, whether it was tax problems, I just felt like everybody was experiencing that. And I knew as a young girl, like, okay, I don't want to experience any of these things. I don't want to live this type of life. I just want to reap the benefits. So it's very hard to walk away from.
Has anybody ever hit you up after watching your porn? Like, in particular, I feel like you exploded when you played Sarah Palin. Did Sarah Palin ever hit you up?
I wish. You know, I went to Alaska February of 2019, went to Wasala hoping to find Sarah Palin. I took a really cute picture by the Welcome to Wasala sign. The only time we got close was when these Montreal radio hosts pranked her. And they actually got through her PR screening and set up an interview that went on air. And right away, they brought up who's Nailin Palin. And she hung up, but it was just the fact that they got her on the phone, which was so awesome for them. But I never got to have the approach. I think now it's even funnier because most people don't realize the new governor of Alaska, her name is Lisa Ann Murkowski. So that's Sarah Palin's life right now. She is living in Alaska with a governor named Lisa Ann after I played her, which I think is so ironically hilarious.
Guess who's thinking about running again, by the way? Sarah Palin.
Oof. You know what? I follow her on all social media because finally I got unblocked. Somebody that was running her accounts blocked me for years. And then one day I went to check it. I was unblocked. I was like, my girl. I get to follow my girl again. She's got with her guns all the time doing great shit. She's wild. Love Sarah Palin.
We have a connection to her, you know? We might be able to hook you up.
I don't think that connection ended well.
How do you
My co-host on another show, Dakota Meyer, was married to Sarah's daughter, Bristol.
Bristol. So we're in Austin, Texas, and she's here. So yeah, his co-host on American Party is Dakota Meyer.
I'm not sure there's a lot of favors left in that bag.
Yeah, that's a tough one. They have kids together too.
They got two kids together. We'll soft lob it to him and see what he said.
I'm sure he'll be thrilled to hear that. Yeah, 100%.
He'd love to. But again, I think your transition has been phenomenal. Your knowledge on fantasy football is absolutely fucking legit. When you broke into it, were people like, dude, what the fuck does this porn star know about fantasy football?
Yeah, I got a lot of comments, probably a couple thousand a week of like, I liked you better when you were taking dicks in your ass. You're better off with cum in your face. Like, I got it all, and it really was able to help me build this thick skin where I would say, oh, yeah, that's right. You think my brain fell out my vagina when I opened my legs. That's not the case. I mean, I do it the same way everybody else does. I listen to 4 hours of fantasy football podcasts every single day, starting the first week in August. July, I was listening to my weekly shows on fantasy sports radio. Like, I just stay up on the news, and I enjoy it. It's better than watching the actual news. Yes. It's better than really what's being offered on television right now. We don't have a lot of good news shows. We're all waiting for our shows to come back. Billions is coming back. Like, we're all waiting. But I got a lot of negativity, and I will say that it taught me how to process information. It taught me to look at social media and say, like, these are strangers. They don't know you. They don't have any control over your thoughts. If you let this bother you, it's on you. So I still clap back once in a while, but I've really learned to just go, okay, it's not to be understood by everybody. And some people are truly offended when they see me in person because they're uncomfortable with the amount of porn that they watch. They recognize me right away. They don't know how to process the information that I'm actually allowed to walk the streets like a normal person. And they become nasty with me. And that's when it really catches me off guard because I realize what they're projecting is just their own confusion sexually and their own animosity towards me because I've been successful at something that I think a lot of people deep down inside would rather see all the men and women in the industry fail, become addicted to drugs, not make it, because we like to pine on that sad story that the industry is, but it doesn't have to be that.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine it must feel something like having an ex-girlfriend or side piece walk into a family dinner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's this internalized self-loathing, right?
Yeah, that's all it is.
Rage is depression turned inward. That's the phrase, right? So
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Let's go your fantasy football top five here real quick. Because, look, we have a ton of listeners that play fantasy football. Dan and I host six leagues every year. Let's say you get the first pick in this year's draft. Who are you going with?
You know, I still have to go with Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. I think he's going to have all the work again. I trust him coming back from these injuries. I've been watching everything on his Instagram and social media. I do follow all of the accounts to just watch their workouts. I know it's all hype, but I'm confident with his return. Saquon's a little bit concerning because I don't really know if you're going to get strength from Saquon to like week four or week five. So if you're picking up Saquon, second or third pick, you've got to be prepared to not be completely satisfied at the beginning. You're also relying on Daniel Jones. But the Giants did do a little bit of work on their line. Zeke is looking best shape ever. We're going to see a lot of that at camp. We're also going to see a lot of him on Hard Knocks. Yep. My perfect drinking game is going to be Jerry Jones and Zeke. Like, you just drink each time you see one of them because you know we're going to see them a lot. Mm-hmm. I still really like Aaron Jones. Can't discount Alvin Kamara. And I'm just seeing up until the pick six, nobody's jumping off the running backs. And for me, at that point, I'm definitely going Tyreek Hill or Devontae Adams.
No Derrick Henry in that top five.
He doesn't really put up big numbers until later in the year, though.
Yeah, but that's when the playoffs come.
He's always off to a slow start.
Yes. And that's when the playoffs are.
I did slip on Derrick Henry. He would be, for me, ahead of Saquon Barkley for sure. So I'd push Saquon to like five, put Derrick Henry at like three, move that up. But you're right. Just slipped my mind. Derrick Henry, though he doesn't get bigger points, he does warm up, you're right, midway through the season. But he's so consistent, and he's always out there. You know, he's always available, and that's really what you want in fantasy.
And that exactly, and that consistency is what I try to go for, especially with like flex positions. I probably drafted James White for 8 years in a row just because he was a consistent.
Because you knew what you had.
Yes, 14 points out of the flex position, and I didn't give it. Every year I had James White up until Brady left. That new guy who's replaced him is Landry for me. Out of Cleveland, that guy is still 10 to 12 points a game in a flex position. I love him every single week. If you go quarterback first round, which, look, depending upon who you listen to or what you read, isn't the smartest choice. Who do you go quarterback first round, gun to head, if you had to take one?
What, are you kidding?
And do you? If you're pick 12, do you?
Okay, gun to head, I'm going to be torn between Mahomes or Josh Allen. I really love what Josh Allen did last season. I see no reason. I hear all these broadcasters talking about regression and that his luck was the fact that they didn't have fans in the stadiums and that helped him. I don't really think that's the case with Josh Allen. I think Steph Diggs was just such a big monster addition. Even Beasley was consistent when needed to be. So it would be Mahomes. Or it would be Josh Allen for me.
Oh, I mean, Josh Allen, how often in any sport have we seen a guy that young get a huge contract and come back and have a baller year the next year? Fernando Tatis this year is the only time I remember it happening anytime recently. Right?
Yeah. Well,
we'll see with Mahomes because this will be this year for him.
Exactly. Right. But with Mahomes last year, like, you know, look, he wasn't a top five quarterback. The injuries obviously set him back. The Chiefs team to me is, Mahomes in particular, is so hard to draft because they're so good.
Well, they have so many pieces. How do you know where the distribution's going to go?
Well, that and they don't turn it on until the end of the game. Like towards the end in gambling-wise, I started betting against them on the spread.
Well, their live lines
are good. Or using a 6-point teaser, yeah.
Yeah, their live lines are really good.
Because they always get down and they'll find a way to come back. But fantasy-wise, he was okay last year. Rodgers, you know, tore the doors off the place. But I like Josh Allen because of his legs and all of those running points add up as well. Lisa Ann, you really know your shit. Amped. Tell everybody the name of your show on SiriusXM.
Actually, I'm doing all of my stuff on my own this season. So I do all of my IG lives with different beat reporters and broadcasters at Bovada. So you can check out all of my sports talk, IG live at Bovada. And then everything else you can just find at The Real Lisa Ann. So that's going to be YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And I'll be doing start sits every Sunday morning live on YouTube this year. Yeah, you know, in May, I thought I was being unique quitting my job post-pandemic. But then I realized everybody did it. I just want to be on my own for a year, and I just really wanted to spread my wings a little bit. I was doing my podcast through Sirius, the Lisa Ann Experience, and now that I'm producing it myself, I can put it on YouTube. I had a lot of limitations, and I learned how to do so many things during the pandemic. I learned how to edit. I learned how to create different content using different cameras. I learned how to do things, so I just decided, hey, you took all this time to learn. We still don't know what's going on with the world. It's still kind of touch and go out and about. So kind of like, why bother? Let's just stay and enjoy the year of just creating your own content and see how far it goes.
Yeah, and look, and if you can monetize it yourself, that's the best part of all of this. So I you're one of those people that I think you can. I don't think you necessarily need a SiriusXM. Now's the point in the show where we get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
Oh, I am going to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to Christy Canyon, who was one of the first girls I met when I was 18 years old. She was a feature dancer that came through, very well-known porn star from the 90s, 90s. We're still great friends. We still talk on the phone and catch up and see each other when we can. And she's been such a consistent light for me, and she was one of the women I was able to look at that never fell into the lifestyle, always took care of herself, always had fun where we were, but was never wasted. And she's just an awesome woman. And the fact that we're still friends 30 plus years later is just awesome.
That's amazing.
So Christy Canyon, that she gets.
Yeah, I remember her well. Giorgio. Since your hero is here today, we'll leave you with the last question. What is something you've always...
Come on, Giorgio.
Yeah, what is something you've always wanted to ask Lisa Ann?
Oh, wow, you can't really, like, put me on the spot.
Giorgio, I have to. You blew it earlier. This is your redemption.
And I'm blowing it
Giorgio,
again.
Giorgio, you had all morning to think about if you had this opportunity. What would you do with it? Giorgio, ask me a question.
Mom's spaghetti, though, right?
Yeah. Exactly. It's very M&M.
What's next for you?
That's it, Giorgio? That's what you really wanted to ask?
It's really
I have a new book coming out. Giorgio, that's great. That was a great question because you're going to help me sling my first book and promote my second. So I'll send you commission and sign up for your OnlyFans, baby, okay?
I appreciate that.
To use the tip feature in there. I know how to do all of that. Okay, so my next big thing is my new book comes out in December of 2021. My first book came out December of 2015. You can get that at thelifelisaann.com. You can get it from my store. You can get it from Amazon. During the pandemic, I recorded my audiobook over a month in my bedroom closet alone. That was amazing. And that's available on Amazon. So new book. And also just like I'm at a great place in my life where I don't feel the pressure that everybody else does. I'm not always pining for what's next. I've taken on minimalism and changed the way my thinking is over the past, let's say, 5 years. And I'm just happy sitting out on my patio reading a book on a Saturday afternoon. I know that sounds super dull to a lot of people, but that's just where I'm at. So I'm keeping it simple and enjoying doing my own thing and being my own boss.
Yeah. And look, we enjoyed having you here. I'm sorry, Giorgio blew it today. I mean, the first question.
Giorgio, that was a great question. You got me to promote my book and build excitement about my second book because that's the book that's probably going to bring in the money for the boat that I have to buy to date you. So this all ties in really, really well because I know you won't date me without the boat. So I won't come back. Don't worry. I'll hit you on Insta when I make the purchase.
Yeah.
To redeem myself a little bit, I said that because everyone knows about her from her past and everyone wants to bring that up and constantly talk about that, then maybe we'll want to hear about the future.
I know, and absolutely. And look, Giorgio, it's a great question. The first one you got a, oh, hey, buddy, that's okay. And that was nice, right? A nice
this
little,
one, she's thinking about your guys' future together. So
this
now
one,
it's
this
like,
one, she said, that's,
exactly.
That's a great question. Yeah. That's a great question.
Exactly.
And by the way, to Giorgio's point, I think everybody brings up the past because you're so famous to literally everyone, whether or not they want to admit it or not, like for real, whether or not they want to admit it or not. Like if you're walking, I think I'm sure guys are walking down the streets with their wives and they're looking, doing a double take of like, I know that person, but I can't say where it's from. Like all.
And no, believe it or not, no one's shy about it. Everyone just walks behind me in the street. It's like, yo, Lisa, and what's up? Like all day. If I don't have a mask on, that's my life. So I'll secretly go back to mask here and there when I need to run some errands, but I'm used to it. And I find people in New York are pretty chill about it. Tourists will ask for photos, but people that live here really won't because they see me often. But it's always just like, hey, Lisa, wave across the street. Like delivery guys pull up. Hey, and I'm like, okay, cool. So it's a good rapport. Hey, I've been a big part of a lot of people's lives. So you can't just rip that away from people. And it's cool that people understand like, oh, she gets to do something else with her life. But y'all can still enjoy my content whenever you want. It's there. The work is done.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I've done the work. It's always going to be embedded on the internet. It's not going anywhere. So you all can enjoy it and support my new life as well.
Absolutely. And you look you look identical. You look the same, whereas a lot of them don't. And that's the sad thing. You're living a fucking great life. Doing fantasy football. You still look hot as shit. You're good to go, Lisa. We appreciate you being here.
Right.
Yeah, and look, there's people that are donating. Kreger's just donated $15 for the boat. Logan LaPointe, another $5 for the boat.
That's $20.
Boy, that's $20, kids. That boat's that boat is probably $120, $180 for something that Giorgio's looking for. So you're probably going to have to up that.
I have a great idea? Giorgio, what if we collabed on your OnlyFans?
Ah!
And you brought in the money for the boat. Because I don't really want to be a sugar mama. So if we collabed and you collected the money on your OnlyFans and paid the tax on it as well, then bought the boat with it, you know what I mean?
And then paid the slip fee and upkeep the boat and all that.
Yeah.
I'd continue to collab with you. We just film it every time we're together.
I could go for this. I could see this. I see myself being a boat boy. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that a phrase that people use, boat boy?
Yeah, they use it all the time. They use it all the time.
Hashtag
boat boy. Giorgio the boat boy. How would you guys collab, by the way?
Well, we would have to do scenes, right? I mean, we're trying to get his numbers up on his OnlyFans.
Yes, we are.
All of his fans currently are gay dudes, so I'm not sure how that's going to work. You may have to.
I think it would switch if she showed up.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, we're bringing her fans.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, you can appeal to both. I'm sure you have a lot of gay fans.
Yes, I do.
We could shoot it in a desert.
Pardon me?
We could shoot it in a desert.
What the fuck's that going to do with
that's
anything?
That's really dry, Georgia.
Why are we choosing?
Don't
locals?
Say.
That's not going to
No. I'll shoot everybody. No fucking puns and definitely not two in a row. Get the fuck out of here.
Lisa,
we can do it with a GoPro. We can just prop it up on something. I know how to self-shoot. Don't worry about it, Giorgio. No, we don't need a crew. We got to save the money for the boat gas.
Oh, I have tons of cameras.
Yeah, Giorgio is our camera.
He actually is our producer of the show, so he's got all the equipment one could ever possibly need here. We'll show it to you after the shoot.
We got chest rigs, face rigs. You know, we can do the whole thing.
Whoa, everything, easy. Everything. We greatly appreciate you being here. You're fantastic. If you ever want to go back into a company, let us know. We'll back up the truck for you. You're wildly entertaining, and your fantasy football show is fantastic. Check out Lisa Ann everywhere she mentioned and is available. Thanks again for being on the show today. We greatly appreciate it.
Maybe next time I'll get to see you as a non-clown person, because this is embedded in my head forever, but I loved it, and thank you very much for having me as a guest today.
Absolutely. For D'Anthony Holloway, Lisa Ann, I'm Ross Patterson. We are the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.